I've been really tall, I thought I was sleeping again. Anyway, thanks very much for coming, folks. I'm going to read a verse that I remember, if you don't mind. It was Peter had read it this morning, and it really spoke to my heart. I'm just going to read it. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Don't get that at all, please, catch it up. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth on him. So I'm just going to share my story, guys. Obviously, some people in fellowship know me, some of you guys are here, it's lovely to see you. My nieces, my sister. I didn't agree, but a friend from the talk. And anyway, so I'm going to start here. Right. Very well. Right. My mom had 7 children, and I'm number 5 in the line. And 7 children. We had an absent father who was gone when I think I was around 4.5, 5 years of age. So, mother wasn't saved this time in her life, but my granny was. My granny, who I lived in a place called Arnhoff, which is about 2.5 miles from Rollins, down from Trim. For those who live nearby, we know where it's at. So, we're all houses. My grandparents lived in the second house, and we lived in the ninth, or number 9, house 410, obviously. And my granny would have, actually, she was driving, but she would have took myself and my sister Beth here tonight, and my brother Alan, and the other relations, to meet and to give them all a head piece. Because with 7 children, that's quite a lot, you know. And, so Granny would have took us to any church that she was going to, her own church, but we would have been taken to other churches all over, just to give Mommy head pieces, spending more and more. And so as we're growing up, I was hearing this year with the Word of God, because of my different children, it's just to get the sweets, really. I was scared. If you went to a certain meeting, certain place, certain time, you were going every week, you got a bar of chocolate, a bar of sweets, which was good, because Mommy came up and couldn't afford to buy us that each time. Anyway, so I was coming and skipping. I'll not be Peter's just going to take a couple of 1 minute walk before midnight, but I promise. I'm nervous to meet you. Anyway, so we live in Derrick and love Derrick, love the people that we grew up with out in Comfort. My agent and all. So I came to a stage in my life when I was about to hit high school. I didn't want to go to high school because everybody to me were giants. I knew a small person, but I didn't realize how small I was until I was having to go to high school. And high school, everybody was way up here, and I still live here, but everybody was way up here at that time. And I didn't want to go to a high school. And because everybody just looks at home. But anyway, we moved from Derrick to Ramblestown, this is your view. So I went to Ramblestown High School, absolutely terrified because people, again, as I kept every girl, just giant to me. Anyway, the first year of school, like, I was sort of kind of, people wanted to hear their opinions about me, they labeled me, they got that bullied. Because I look different in height. And I got through it. But on at this time I was still going through the church where Granny was a member of and was still taking me to. So on first year, second year, third year of I was getting settled in the school because everybody knew who it was, so it was Alec or Alison in them days. Old you know, knew who it was. I was only her, you know, number one, you know, don't be used, you know, the high school stuff. So that was fine. And third year, I was babysitting with my one of the two friends that I was friends with at that time, and the girl was babysitting for a neighbour, and she would have babysat on Friday night or Saturday night, but in them days, you had to put the key in the neighbour's feet microphone. So the people that she was babysitting for, obviously they were socializing and drinking and stuff, but forgot to put the key in the neighbour. So at night time, it got dark, and it's like when you think when you know when you send your children to Sunday school and Bible class and you think that it doesn't go in, it does go in. Because as soon as the light went out that night, we were in pitch darkness. They had no open fire, they had electric fire, and obviously they needed money for that to get the electric going. But what came into my head there and then was hell. Because hell is a dark, dark place. And I didn't want to go there. Because I learned from going to church for Granny standing there. I was absolutely terrified. I said to the two girls, is this what hell's going to be like? Are we going to, you know, we're going to see if we're going to go there? And I was really concerned about my salvation at that time. So I went home. And the next night, I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and to save me because I didn't want to go. I did not want to go there. I was absolutely terrified if I was going to go there. I wanted to go to heaven. But, so, anyway, back into school, told the people the school that was at, towards them, that I got saved. Obviously, they laughed. You're good living. I just know I'm a Christian saved for grace. And it's hard because when you stand for the Lord in your life and people walk in, they do and they will and they'll continue to do it. But when the Lord tells you your heads and your feet through the good times and the bad times, and he says, and even when you were isolated and you know, because nobody wants to know you third year, you know, once you confessed and told the Lord about them, the Lord Jesus has accepted them. And I didn't regret that, I didn't regret that because I didn't want to go to hell, I didn't want to go to a place where full of darkness and whatever sin you were doing at that time will continue for your day at that time. But anyway, I stood with Ryan and the Lord helped me through it. So, because I got saved, I believe I had to get baptized. And I did. I got baptized in the church, in the house at the time of that. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, if you love the Lord, there's one Lord, one baptism, and one faith. And I wanted to do what Jesus said. I wanted to go right down under, fully immersed, and come up like he did. Because that's the example that he showed us to do as believers. And I wanted to do that, so I did that. I got baptized, and I really wanted to do that. I kept attending to church, no matter still still getting your opinions about being a good living person. I was a good living. I couldn't be good living. How could I be good living? I do not perfect. I would have said to them, perfection. Perfection is the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross with no sin in his life. But he took that place for me and for everybody that came to this world. So, anyway, I finished school. School was coming up to an end this year. I was terrified first year to go to school. I did not want to finish school this year because I was in my bubble. Everybody knew who I was. Everybody knew it was me. Everybody said it was Alison, which is a fifth year. So I was in a bubble and I didn't want that bubble to burst because I felt secure. So I went to the big world that I would have to start all over again and get people to label me, criticize me, laugh at me, mock me, whatever they wanted to do. So I did not want to go to leave school. But I moved on. I have to. Chris is a better spin. I want to meet them up, and that's one of the big rooms. So, my older sister, Linda, got me a job in the factory that she was working in. I was on all the way, so I'm so much grateful for that. So she helped to get me a job there. And I was going there, and I was working well, but met new friends there too. Not about a pick, but I met new friends as well. Anyway, time with all my friends were in relationships, the people in church were in relationships, but Ali wasn't in relationships. So this kind of got the better of me. You see, when you do something for the Lord, the devil doesn't like it because he doesn't want you to be happy. Well, this was an opportunity he planted in my heart, in my head. So I wanted to be like the girls. My friends had boyfriends, and my church friends had partners, and Ali just didn't have anybody. So that kept it on my mind for a long time, and you know, God loves you. Why wouldn't you give me something in your life? Why wouldn't you know this God love me? I held on to that thought, which I shouldn't have done, but I did. And then as time went on, I thought, I hate being me. I don't want to be me. I don't like being me. I want out of here. I don't care. Why am I needed? I'm a family of 7 children. Why me? Felt sorry for myself. Cried. Didn't want to be here. So one day, I don't know if Beth knows this, but one day I decided, right, this is it, I've had enough. I hate people talking about me, I hate people calling me names, in their opinion, labeling me, you know, well, I had enough. So, in the kitchen, my mom had tablets, different cupboards, different places. So I found them, and I had 4 sets of tablets right up in the room. And I said, you're the God that you tell me you are. Why do you not answer my prayers? Why do you not allow me to have a relationship with everybody else and all the Christians too? So I got really angry with them, with the moms. I really was angry with God because I knew he can and he will and he still does. But at that time I didn't know. I trusted him, but I didn't know that he could still do the things that we can do. He does do. So the tablets were laid up and I thought, right, why? I have had enough. Why me? Sorry me. Yeah, I was screaming. So I started taking the tablets. And then I just stopped. And I said, you know, our father was never around, didn't want to know us, didn't care about us. So the earthly father didn't care, I thought, well, the heavenly father definitely doesn't, because nothing's moving, nothing's happened. So I started taking more. And the next week, no flash of lightning, no big boom of a bang or anything. All I heard was, I'm your heavenly father, and I care, and I love you, for you, and I'm your diamond. Tablets just started ticking, and I said, Lord, that's you talking to me, say it again. And all I could hear, and the voice, as I say, no bye, no flash, no please, friends, was, I'm your heavenly father, I love you, and I care for you. So I carried my heart out and I said, Lord, you've got to show me this because I'm lonely. I feel alone. I feel it really hard at times, you know, to keep going on in life. So I carried my heart out that night and the Lord did. The desire to tell us, and the only desire to, I thought, right, I'll give it another go. So, in the factory, I was working away, I went on ahead, you know, it was the packer in the factory, and on the office at that time. And 4 years had passed when this had happened.
And so I prayed, God, keep trying, God, keep praying, God, keep trying, God, keep praying. He told me you're going to be with me, you're going to answer my prayers. But you know what I love about the Lord? 4 years. It's a long time, probably 40 years, but it's 4 years. There was a man who came in the bathroom. And I said, hey, and his name is Mark McAllister. So, when the Lord rewards you and does things, He gives you more than what you ask. Now, as you know, I'm not the tall person, I feel it's done this still now in a minute, but I'm. The Lord gave me a 4-foot-1, not you. And the Lord gave me a 6-foot-1 man. And He gives you more than what you ask for, you know, when you start to pray, you know, when you love, and you hold on to that. And you hold on to that. How you being with something in there, God? I'm with my head still. And that's it. So, we got married 2 years, 2.5 years ago, my brother and I. So, anyway, so we got the meeting, and then we were blessed with each other. I didn't know about every one of it. I don't have a tear tonight. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to have children, because I was terrified. Number one, I didn't want to be selfish, I didn't want them to. What I was going through, I didn't want them to be like that. But anyway, I had an arm, we had an arm, and we had him first, and then we had Hannah, and the Lord just brought us right through, just brought us. His word, from that night, I was going to try to decide, his word is signed, his promise is so true. So, Hannah and Arne were sent to Sunday school, Bible class. Very brother and Lord at that time, Derek Thompson, who's in glory now, and we're going soon. We're coming there. And they both got baptized. They both got saved when they were younger and they got baptized. And that was a real answer to prayer and glory to God to do for that as well. So, but before I'm going to share something. I wasn't sure to share this, but I'm going to share it because I can't get out of my head. In the place that we lived in before we came to move to the Grange, young people took it upon themselves to do the things that they don't want people like us to listen. We shouldn't be here, myself and my daughter. We should have been born. People like us shouldn't be on this earth. So the Lord gives you grace and He hardens your heart. You know, because I'm so used to people calling me what they thought that they thought that they should call me. So we let it go. And I let it go. And then it's getting a wee bit more personal. So the day that two young boys, they were about 15, 16, they were calling themselves a house with a crossbow. And obviously Mark being the father, the family, and husband of the family, took it really hard. And we called the police. The mother of the son wanted to beg us not to get the police, beg us, because she had a problem. And she was come back to live in Tenerife with a heap of to do with. But she begged us and begged us. And I thought, you know, Lord, people turn their back on you and mock you. And I have to do that too. So the police came, took statements, we took it no further. So in 2006, that was, Mark was right to have enough. We'll get a house for moving. So we come up to the Grange and this is where we're at. And we've been here 16 years coming. So, you know, you have a testimony in there. I'm not perfect. I'm not mistaken. I'm just going to parents, but that's what the Lord tells us to do.
I'm thankful that he draws and he draws and he will. From early years of the bridge, I don't know if there's any travelers in here tonight. Hi, Trev. See you very
soon.
No, I don't know. That's right. I'm not going to be able to do it. She travels to write the conversation. Well, anyway, it's the year 2015, not given in the Lord prayer. Hello, how you doing? Can I turn out your pavement for such and such a little thank you, shut the doors. I was a very bad time, then a white van came that afternoon. Hello, because it is, and I tried to get married, because travelers, like, people like summer, they're suspicious people. So then the next day, a white van came back again. I said, look, you've got to stop, and I addressed it. Thank you, you're all the same. Oh, I can do this for you also. But we better hassle them, we have that place again. So, just got hassled on this because I don't know why that happened, but it did. But again, the Lord was gracious to me, and he told me. But instead of, doing this, I prayed for them. I still pray for them when I think about them after all this time, and I pray for different people that I've met and give me a hard time. Anyway, there you guys. And I want to talk for a little moment now. My mom had a heart. She was a strong person with seven children. She had issues, like everybody else. But again, the Lord was gracious. Not that I love about her, our God. On 2016, she started taking up well, I believe she had been managed to stroke, but people were cracking from that. And I prayed for my mom for 38 years of time, so that it's safe for her. I'm a brother and sisters, I'm a family and in-laws that were safe. And my mom and my father, two of one, that makes sense. So, when she got not well in 2016, I prayed more. I said, Lord, please be gracious. Please be, she knows the word of God. My granny got a cold or prevents it out. She gets one of yourself. And she was told anybody if they're wrong, and you say, Mom, come to the meeting, don't leave it through here, please. And then our son's 21st birthday in 2017. The family was called for. And we were told that it's just a matter of time. And I was walking up the line the hospital border and was praying. And I know other people in the fellowship and people with Noah and the meeting house at that time. So Trevor and Liamco, Noah and Andy. And we were off to talk to her and witness to her and told her. But she never took that step until that night, that 26th of January 2017, at 7:15, my brother, sorry, I have a brother that's saved, what I mentioned him as well, my brother and my sister, Beth, was in love with them, and we all had to take turns of getting to see them for 5 minutes, then we, because it's too much for them, so many of us. So, she wanted to go to CD, and so my brother Martin told her, went through it with her, and she surrendered her life. So I was at quarter past seven, at quarter past nine, mom left the service. She died when she left. She died when she left. And that was, her life was free. Her kids and everything. And I just want to tell you, I guess a lot of things are, you know, if you want to ask a question, that's fine too. When the devil tells you, and it does, I don't care what it is, but he does. There's a few people fighting for you in this world. The Lord and the devil. And whoever you are going to choose, that's where you're going to go. If you're going to be saved, you're going home. And it's a glory to heaven. I'm not taking people's souls, by the way, for the record. He does a good job. And anyway, so that was a sad time, but it was a good, that was, you know, we know that she's safe, she's happy, she's from the world, singing, and come here to see her again, and I will see her again. But I'll leave that and I'll run around. Every time that you're we all take turns going into your morning hospital, because it's the greatest place in the town, very, very, very believable. And there's a man called Mervyn Lowry. Mervyn loved the drink. He's an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. He would tell you, I told me that stuff. But I was terrified. Because it waved you down and you kept the mess. So I thought, you know, Lord, you told us to reach out to whoever. The man in the spaceship, to the man in the hole, the carriage, the jumper, who am I to judge? So Mervyn knew Mum, knew awkward and stuff like that there. So I got the chance, you know, Mervyn, Mum's not well, and you know, just pray that she'll be saved. And I pray that you will too. And there's myself and another lady listening to me, but I've given them a lesson what this spoon was as well at that time. So when Molly died and passed on, Mervyn was out, you know, prisoner. So I started praying and I took an opportunity and I said, Mervyn, you know, Molly could see you. Yeah, her. I said, I should see you. She's now glory to the Lord. I says, what about you? Oh, she's a good woman, didn't want to talk about her. Good woman. I says, Mervyn, time is short. I says, the Lord was gracious. I says, we prayed for a long time, and she repented of her sin and got saved. I says, what about you? Oh, I'm all right, sure, I'll get me back on the end, I'll be all right. I says, Mervyn, the thief on the cross thought he was too late, and he took. He surrendered his life and the other one went to hell because he didn't repent. And I said, Mervyn, please, you know, the Lord will help you through your problem, your whatever addiction you have in life. And sadly, 3 months later, Mervyn got knocked down. I don't know. I can't judge. Only the Lord knows if he did repent. But life is short. You don't know what day brings. You're here today and gone tomorrow. But I know the Lord, and I love the Lord. I'm not perfect. I'll never give up, and He'll never give up on me, thankfully. He'll fuck me. I've made mistakes, and the Lord knows that. And I just want to share with you. I just want to say this big thing here. I just want to tell you that I am a nobody that's trying to tell you about everybody. I want to try to tell everybody all about somebody who saved me, saved my soul, and who loves me for me. And you can have that same person too. And I hope one day that you who are here tonight can see everybody that's in heaven. But you're still selfish. And in Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 2, and we know all things God works for the good of those who trust So for me, a small person for touching me, perhaps the back of a small person, you know, the difference is not lost in what we are.
Well, let me say thank you to Ali for sharing her life story with us this evening. Ali, you're just Ali, even in the pulpit. You're just this year. And I don't think I'll start saying hello to everybody as well. But it's great to listen to Ali's story and what Christ has done in her life and how she's walking with the Lord. I want to tell you something here in our fellowship. We love Ali the best because she works so hard for the Lord. And she often says we're a team together working for the Lord, and she's absolutely right. We're a little fellowship here, and we're working together hard for the Lord, and that is part of that. And how wonderful to hear her story. I just want to take a few moments this evening as we finish. I want to read you a few verses from the book of Acts in chapter 26. You see, there's a man who was called Paul. And Paul, he had been in prison for reasons that he shouldn't have been. And Paul, he was brought before a governor and before a king called King Agrippa. And the governor's name was Festus, and there was King Agrippa as well. And Paul stood and he told his life story. We sat, it's that here tonight. And we listened to Ali's story. We listened to Ali speak about how the Lord Jesus Christ turned her life around. And earlier when she said this. She spoke about the darkness that night when the lights went out in that house. And you know, Paul, when he was saved, he spoke about a light as well in his life. You see, God met him on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute Christians. Paul was a man who hated Christians. And he was on his way this day to bring more Christians into prison, to persecute them, and to execute them. But Paul here, he was telling his story of how the Lord saved him that day. Met him on the road to Damascus. And there's two responses that we find. We only have a few minutes left in our meeting, and I'm not going to take a lot of time. But as you've listened to Ali's story this evening, and as you hear the gospel message, let me tell you something about the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross of Calvary for you. And he took the punishment for your sin. And I want to tell you that the gospel is something that's designed for all. You know, Paul says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 26, when he's speaking there, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing to both small and great. So we're witnessing, he says, to both small and great. I want to tell you something about the gospel of my Savior. And Ali's Savior. There's no dividing line. And there's no discrimination. It's for small and for great. There's no discrimination with God. All have offended him. You and I, we are sinners. And each one of us has offended him. I'm sure no one listening can say that they've always been truthful. You can't tell us, say that you've never maybe had a hateful thought towards someone. Maybe we can't all say that we've always been honest. Not one of us is perfect. Ali spoke about that as well. We've all offended our perfect and holy God. We've all sinned. The Bible tells us that. The truth is, just as a crime needs punished in our justice system, there's a punishment awaiting those who reject the message of the Bible. But God has made a way for you to be saved, just like he's here telling. The gospel message is designed for all. The Lord Jesus Christ died for all. He died for grief. He died for small. I don't know what you think about yourself this evening. But let me tell you, I spoke about how the Lord spoke to her. Let me tell you, in the authority of God's word tonight, God loves you. And he gave his son for you. And the gospel message is for great and small. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for the young, he died for the old. The Lord Jesus, he died for you and he loves you. It's a message that's designed for those for you, you're included. It's a message that applies to all the gospel message, you know, it applies to you. For in verse 23, Paul, as he testified, he said that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. You know, if you cast your mind's eye to the cross of Calvary, and see the Lord Jesus hanging there in your place, you can see his blood flow, and his back is torn apart by the whip, and the wrath of our holy God is poured upon his Son, in order that you and I might walk free, yet people still reject the gospel message. The Lord Jesus died the death that you deserved, and he took your place in my place. There was a price paid for every sin that you and I would ever commit, and blood was shed by the Savior for you, and his death applies to you. It was designed for all, and it applies to you. He was crucified for you. But let me tell you, the salvation that Ali spoke about this evening, it's offered to you. It's offered to you. The Lord Jesus didn't try to die on the cross for some people. He died on the cross for all, for you. And God's word said, and God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why do you think the gospel is proclaimed clearly in this place every Sunday evening in many places around our country? Because it's a life transforming message. And it can turn your life around. And this evening you've heard Ellie's story, and I trust that you will heed the message. I trust that you'll stop and you'll consider that the Lord Jesus Christ can change your life around too. God's word makes it so clear. It says what God commanded his love towards us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says, for whosoever, that means you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved from it. And the Bible tells us what we can be saved from, because it says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, fear the Lord, which after he has killed have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Lord Jesus says to you tonight, come, you must come. He bids you to repent, and you must repent of your sin. He bids you to wash and be clean. You must wash and be clean. He bids you to forsake the old ways of sin, to forsake the way that you've been living, and turn to him. I wonder, do you heed the gospel message? And I wonder, do you pay attention? Well, I want you to see the two responses after Paul gave his testimony. There was Festus. In verse 25, Festus, after listening to Paul's story, said, or verse 24, excuse me, it says, and as he thus spake for himself, as Paul spoke for himself and gave his testimony, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know, Festus rejected the gospel message. And this evening at the close of this meeting, you've heard of his story. You've heard that Christ has died for you. You've heard that he's paid the price for your sin, so that you don't have to face this lost eternity, so you don't have to face hell. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. You can have assurance tonight. And yet Festus, after listening to Paul's testimony, says, you're mad. Dear friend, don't consider the gospel message mad. And don't consider it as strange. It's the truth. And I love to share. But the truth is, if you neglect God's salvation, then my Bible tells me you're indeed on your way to a lost eternity. But the Lord Jesus has said, that doesn't have to be the way, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Festus rejected the message. My prayer is that you won't reject the gospel tonight. The Lord can save you. But what about King Agrippa? What about King Agrippa? For King Agrippa stood and listened to Paul's message, and in verse 28, this is how he responded. He said this, and I think this is very sad. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. And I know there's some, as you've listened to Ali's story and you share it here. And I know there's some who have sat in this building many, many times and listened to many faithful preachers stand and share the gospel message of Christ. And you've shed tears. And the Spirit of God might have been working in your heart, but you've walked out the doors. And you're just like Festus, and you rejected the message. And maybe you've sat a bit like Agrippa, and you've been almost persuaded, but you've never come through. Well, tonight, my friend, if you won't be like King Agrippa, if the Lord is moving in your heart tonight, accept you're a sinner. Bow before Him. Thank Him for taking your place at the cross of Calvary and paying the price for your sin. So that you don't have to face this lofty eternity. So that you can be in heaven with Him forever one day. But also that you don't get this friend that sticketh closer than a brother in this life. Ali has spoken about the tough times. How times haven't always been easy, but she was to be able to say that the Lord was always with her. And the Lord was good to her. That's a great testimony. And that can be yours too. If the Lord's speaking to you this evening, let me share this verse that's found in the book of Hebrews with you. It says this: today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If God's been speaking to you this evening, don't harden your heart. I've given this illustration a year before. But I want to share it this evening as we close. I heard a story of the university's plans who were sharing a student house. And one of the students had a placement in BT in the Hillbath. He would have to get up early in the morning and he would set his alarm. And the story goes, the alarm would sound and he would hit the snooze button. It would go again and he would hit the snooze button again and it continued again and again and again until he was too late. His opportunities ran out and he would be late for work. Let me ask you, how many times will you hit the spiritual snooze button on God? How many times must the Spirit of God work in your heart? Maybe someday it will become too late. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, not next week, not the end of your life. It says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't be like Festus and reject the message this evening. Don't be like King Agrippa and be almost persuaded. If God is speaking to you, commit your life to Him. I can tell you, not only Ali will testify to this, but many people around this room who are seated and have known the grace of God in their life, they could come up here and tell you tonight the best decision they ever made. There's a hymn. We're going to sing as we close. It says, almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost to not heal. Almost is but to heal. Fast at the better wheel. Almost but lost. You can have the Savior this evening. You can have peace with God. You can have pardon from sin. And you can have a Savior that's with you for this life and through all eternity. I pray tonight that if you're in this place and you've listened to Ali's testimony and heard this story, if you don't know Christ as Savior, why not just take a moment now? Place your trust in Him.